all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
This is normally where I give you a very upbeat welcome to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday, April 13th. I'm Pat Kreitlow here along with Kristen Lyerly. I can't give you that upbeat thing because of what I just read.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Kristen.
I'm not sorry.
How could you?
It was going to come out. You might as well just break it across Wisconsin right now.
Fine. We will. So your son, one of your sons texts you and says, did you see who Aaron Rodgers appears to have endorsed for president? And of course, now I have no idea. And I look it up and, you know, of course, it's Robert F. Kennedy Jr., you know, noted anti-vaxxer who God only knows how many people's deaths are on his hands. Jeez, really? I mean, it's not the world's biggest surprise coming from Aaron Rodgers. And again, even though this isn't worked out with the Jets, if you need any help packing Aaron, just call on me. Thanks for your service. Please get the hell out. But that's, you know, I never thought a Wisconsin podcast or radio show would start that way. But when you're taking what was already a ridiculous view and now embracing, you know, one of the largest anti-vaxxers out there for president, it's just such a sad commentary on where we've gone, in my view.
Yeah, down the rabbit hole. I mean, where do you even... How do you even come back from? I don't know. I don't even have words right now, Pat. Where do you go with this?
Well, here's where you go with it is you take that same anti-science sentiment and, you know, where you've politicized it and you take it into this current court fight over mifepristone, which we have an update on from Dr. Lyerly, noted OBGYN, because we had this renegade Trump appointed judge essentially try to overrule the FDA and have this all banned. He stayed his own injunction. Another federal judge said not so fast. Where are we at now with overnight developments?
Well, then, of course, the DOJ appealed it. And then over the weekend, there was a big flurry of activity and lots of amicus briefs filed. And, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I get confused with all of this. But it seems to me that where we're at now is an appeals court has upheld the FDA approval, but they've pulled it back. So although we know that mifepristone, again, is safe and effective, and over 5 million women have used it over the 23 years that it's been FDA approved, they've pulled it back so we can no longer use it up until 10 weeks of pregnancy, but only up until 7 weeks of pregnancy.
The coverage early this morning from the New York Times says that a 3-judge panel for the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals says that mifepristone could remain available, but they blocked the drug from being sent to patients through the mail. And they, as you mentioned, rolled back other steps the government had taken to ease access in recent years. But pretty soon the full case will be heard on its merits. So this is a temporary step in a fight that frankly never should be a fight in the first place. But the fact that you could get this one anti-abortion rights activist, the fact that he could get appointed a judge, Judge Matthew Kaczmarek for the Northern District of course, Texas, because Florida wasn't available. That this shouldn't even be a fight. Again, we shouldn't even be fighting science. But here we are saying, I feel like the FDA is wrong, so I'm going to abuse my power and you know, inconvenience and potentially endanger people.
Yes. And the way that, so this is a de facto abortion ban, really, and it's clearly political. But the way that it affects us here in Wisconsin really doesn't have anything to do with abortion. So to be very clear about how people are affected in Wisconsin, this affects miscarriage management. This is the medication that we use when someone is already suffering from a miscarriage. They come in often bleeding, they're seeking treatment, and now we cannot use the most effective form of treatment for them because of this arbitrary political scenario that we're living in. That's evolving and causing a whole other layer of fear and misinformation and confusion. I mean, people just deserve their health care. Pat, we need more Wis common sense here.
Thank you very much. I got to get a trademark on that thing. But yeah, it leads us again to say to be in this era where there's a certain, you know, lack of appreciation for science, a certain lack of, you know, civility and respect for one another. And I think we'll talk about this on the other side of the break and the weather update about what the Washington Post has learned about the person who is apparently the leaker recently of some from a large amount of classified and secret government information. And the story that emerges from this person is, again, a story of somebody who is lacking not just a respect for top secret information, but a whole lot more than that. And to go along with the theme, I'm seeing that a woman had forced an Alaska Airlines plane that was going from San Francisco to Chicago to land at Kansas City after she threatened the flight crew. She went into the bathroom in the rear part of the plane, was there for a long period of time, began hitting the bathroom door from the inside, was banging on the overhead bins, eventually had to be restrained with zip ties by a flight attendant and two passengers. Kristen, I don't know a lot about PFAS, but I'm starting to wonder what's in the water that we've got so many people. We talked about some of them in the last hour as well, feeling they can behave so outrageously.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for you there.
No.
But I think the more we hear about that kind of behavior, the more it normalizes it. And it gives people who have this impulse to act on that impulse instead of reining it in. You know, there are fewer counterbalances.
You hit the nail on the head with the word normalize. And it's really one of my personal aims is to remind people over and over and over again, stop normalizing bad behavior. Stop. You're not being a maverick. You're being a jerk. We'll talk more about that after we get an update on the weather from Jennifer Fachitsky at Weatherology next. You're up north. Milwaukee Brewers lost to Arizona 7-3 in the desert yesterday afternoon. They will start a four-game series in San Diego tonight. Now, we've mentioned before, and we'll mention again, that we not only have red flags warnings for fire danger, high winds, dry vegetation, but we also have flooding that's coming from a still melting snowpack. And it's melting quickly. It's really going to continue to do so because, as Jennifer Wachitsky tells us from Weatherology, it's going to be another hot one today. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and you really got it. Much of the same today for everyone compared to yesterday. We saw that warm front push through the area here a few days ago, and now that high pressure system is still in control for today, bringing with it another day of very windy conditions from the south, but keeping that Gulf moisture at bay. As you mentioned, lots of red flag warnings for much of the state again today. All the listening areas except for the west central ones around Amory and Baldwin, but still pretty windy and dry there still. So definitely something to keep in mind. Sunny for everyone today, though. Highs in the mid to low 80 is well above average, as most of the state should actually be around about the mid-50s. Not too much of a difference for most tomorrow. Slightly cooler, getting into the mid-70s to around 80 degrees. A little bit cooler towards the Michigan lakefront, but still with sunshine for everyone tomorrow. So if you don't get a chance to enjoy it today, definitely another day tomorrow to enjoy. We do have rain shower chances starting to come in around Baldwin and Amory tonight into Saturday, with much cooler temperatures as a cold front pushes through here for Saturday, getting into the mid-50s. So actually pretty average for this time of the year tomorrow. And then a rain snow makes a chance early on Sunday morning, then becoming all rain with highs around 40. For the central and southern parts of the state, rain chances start to come in on Saturday. Not looking at really a drop in temperatures quite yet. Still 70s for most, cooler by the lakefront. But then by Sunday, we'll see that cold front come in. So around or slightly below average mid-50s, those mid-50 degree averages. Then Wisconsin Rapids down to Richland Center, Oshkosh to Milwaukee, looking at chances for a rain snow mix by Sunday night.
So may or may not get around to getting the grill out over the weekend, depending on how this cold front comes through. Jennifer, thank you so much. Have a great day. We'll get the weekend forecast in more detail from you tomorrow. See you later.
You too.
All right. Kristen Lyerly back with us as well. And, you know, we've talked about, you're raising your hand. This is radio. Just jump right in.
Okay, so listening to Jennifer, here's what I heard her say. It's hot, it's cold, it's dry, it's wet, it might snow, but it's going to be really windy. What are we missing here?
Have you never been to Wisconsin before? This is us. This is what we got. You know, again, melting, you know, deep snow up north, melting fast, but red flag warnings for a lot of the other state. How do things look over there? Is the Fox River running as high? I can't imagine it would be, because you don't have the same snowpack that we do for the Wisconsin River, the Chippewa, the Mississippi.
Yeah, we haven't had nearly the snow that you have had out west. But when I came back, gosh, a week ago, the Fox was very, very murky from all of the spring runoff. But, you know, I mean, we still have some runoff, but we don't have major flooding here like we've had in the past.
Yeah. Hey, I started with I was just so shocked, not just so unhappy about the Aaron Rodgers, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. news. We didn't even do a proper announcement at the top of the hour of what's coming up in just 15 minutes from now. Who are we talking to?
We are talking with Dr. Tracy Gayu. She is a pediatric psychologist and the CEO at Catalpa Health. And we're going to talk about what's going on with kids and their mental health. You keep hearing the kids are struggling, but what does that really mean? So Tracy's going to help us figure that out.
All right. Sounds great. And a reminder for everybody that you can get the newsletter that we put out at Up North News by going to upnorthnewswi.com and clicking on newsletter there in the top banner. And in this morning's newsletter that Christina Lurie has put together, I see that she has listed all of the committee assignments for Wisconsin's members of the House of Representatives. You have, of course, everybody talks about how Mike Gallagher is on the he's chairing this special committee about China. You've heard me bemoan the fact that Tom Tiffany is serving on natural resources, but you can find out where everybody else is serving as well in the Up North News newsletter, which you can get through our website again, upnorthnewswi.com. I'm sure you didn't think your mic was off for that one.
It is what it is.
All right. You're a mother of boys. I got to pick your brain because I raised daughters, and now I've got grandsons, including a couple who are real gamers. And so this concerns me a bit, this new story in the Washington Post, where they have basically discovered who the leaker is. There is, for those folks who weren't familiar with it, there's recently been a massive leak of U.S. government secrets. It has exposed spying on allies. It has revealed, as the Washington Post puts it, the grim prospects for Ukraine's war with Russia. It has ignited diplomatic fires for the White House. And the Post describes the leaker as a young, charismatic gun enthusiast who shared highly classified documents with a group of far-flung acquaintances searching for companionship amid the isolation of the pandemic. United by their mutual love of guns, military gear, and God, the group of roughly two dozen men and boys formed an invitation-only clubhouse back in 2020 on Discord, an online platform popular with gamers. It goes on and on to discuss the potential leaker, who I guess is nicknamed OG because he's kind of older. He's seen as a bit of a leader there, but he all the time was talking about, you know, the secret stuff that he was working on and trying to explain to everybody else in this gaming chat area that they need to be paying attention. And sometimes there'd be videos of him making racist and sexist jokes at the gun range. And I guess I would just strongly recommend the article to everybody if you can get to it at the Washington Post. And look, I understand that this is where I want to talk to Kristen as a mother of gamers. I have a personal feeling that we, and I'm not alone, that we have basically lost a generation of young men who get into gaming and who, and again, not all of them, that's not what I'm trying to say here, but it seems far too many of them have gone down this rabbit hole and have taken the easy way out rather than cope with a society that should otherwise be teaching young men to respect diversity, respect women, respect civility, and truly respect life. And I don't mean respect life like, you know, I'm pro-life. I mean like the gun violence that's in our schools. Respect life that way. And don't be blaming absent dads, and don't be blaming just the TV shows. Whatever it is that taps into this, you know, this macho sense of rewarding bravado can't be tackled enough, in my view. And when it's not, oftentimes we talk about how it leads to, you know, people going on mass shootings, but it can also lead to something like this, where somebody has no respect for the secrets that they are being asked to keep in the workplace, any workplace, much less national secrets. And Kristen, you've talked to your boys about sometimes the toxic masculinity that you find online.
Yeah, I don't think, certainly all gamers are not like this. I think like with anything else, there are always little factions of people who take it to the extreme and they form this dysfunctional, unhealthy group that does inappropriate, dangerous, illegal things. And I think that's what we see here. But I mean, you know, like my kids recognize what the culture is there on Discord and what the groups are, who the groups are that they talk with. And I think that's one of the skills that we have to teach this generation of kids as they grow up and they live in this more and more virtual world. And that's the way that they're connecting and communicating with each other. We can't avoid it. We've got to learn how to embrace it. And I think Aaron has something to say about this as well.
Yeah, I'm a gamer, and I can definitely say that, first of all, Discord is just a tool for communication, and it's just the easiest to use, which is why these people are on there, because everyone's on there. But yeah, most people are not like this. It's just a small group that gets made fun of by everybody else. They are referred to as incels, which means involuntary celibate. Yeah.
Which, you know what? It was charming in The Little Rascals, okay? When Spanky and Alfalfa formed the He-Man Woman Haters Club, you know, because they wanted a place for just boys. It was cute. It was a little clubhouse where the boys could be boys.
And that's exactly what it is, but now with guns.
But yeah, now you add guns, and now you add, you know, an inability to understand that there are lines that you do not cross. And again, most of the time it's about what we say, but sometimes it's about what we do. And the fact that anybody would think that there is something appropriate about taking classified and top secret information and sharing it online. I mean, I don't know what else you could do to make clear, you know, that there are certain expectations of your job and that you're not being a whistleblower here. You're being an idiot.
Well, I think part of the problem is, where are the consequences? You know, like, yes. When back in the day when you saw this happening and there were people that you were interacting with, there were consequences. People would say, what exactly is happening here? You know, why are you doing this? But now when you're in your isolated little online group, nobody knows what's happening outside of that group. So it spirals. And like you said earlier, it goes down this rabbit hole with no consequences. And then you end up with situations like this.
Right. That they're without the consequences, it only encourages more. We've said that about all sorts of other things. And in fact, I made that rather our call of the day of what should happen to a leaker of secret military information, especially about this ongoing war in Ukraine. Now, of course, my first instinct was to go to the far extreme and say, shoot him, you know, that he should be executed, because that's what they would do sometimes when you shared top secret information that put lives at risk. After about 3 seconds, I came down from that ledge. But I don't think that my alternative is that bad. I'd put this person on it. I'd put OG on a plane, and I would parachute him into Ukraine and say, you know, if you think this is no big deal that you can just share secret battlefield information and such, you go in there. You go whatever it is you think that you can do that is better than what our men and women, you know, who actually wear the uniform are doing. That's my solution, is just send him to Ukraine, not prison. I don't want to pay for his meals. Just drop him in there.
Yeah, I don't know. I always feel like the consequence has to fit the crime. And that's been very effective for me as a parent. You know, like, as your kids are making mistakes, you want them to learn from that. But how do you, I don't know. This is, I honestly don't know, Pat. Mm-hmm. I mean, this, I just don't know.
No. And again, having raised boys, you know, and I know what a, you know, how, I don't want to say well-mannered. I don't want you to get a big head or anything about this, but you take pride in your boys behaving well. And I pass that message on to my grandsons as well. And How that doesn't happen more frequently with more people, like you said, it's a mystery to me. But what we can do is tell people not to normalize it. It is mm-hmm. not normal behavior. In fact, I wish I had this in front of me. But there's an official, I forget, was it in Wauwatosa or someplace, who was posting all kinds of colorful, controversial things. And when called out on it, he said, "Oh, I was just joking." And you hear that all the time. "I'm just joking." Somebody came up with the term, you've heard of Schrodinger's cat.
Uh-huh.
The term Schrodinger's douchebag. Basically, are they or aren't they? It depends. If you think that they're racist, they're actually just joking. So I like that definition. How about you just not make the jokes or the comments in the first place? Kristen switches gears to pediatric mental health next. You're up north.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
You just call out my name.
Kristen, I had heard one of my favorite albums in a long time. I came upon this yesterday. That's Carole King and James Taylor singing live at the Troubadour. Just an amazing little live concert that they put in and talk about their shared history together. We are in our hometown health segment, as we do every Thursday at 7:30. And we're taking on, in this week, a real crisis in America. We talked in our last segment about young people getting caught up in gaming, but that's just one part of a much larger issue of young people trying to find their place in this world and dealing with other issues. So, Kristen, why don't you take us deeper into that topic and introduce our guest?
Well, we keep hearing in the media and in personal conversations about this crisis in mental health in our kids. But what does this actually mean? I mean, Governor Evers has pointed it out. We're hearing it all over the place. So we brought my friend, Dr. Tracy Gayu, who is the CEO of Catalpa Health, but also a licensed psychologist and a board certified behavior analyst, to help us talk about some of the broader issues and really just bring this to the forefront. Tracy, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I think this is a topical issue for certainly for every parent out there today. So thanks for having me.
Yeah. So you have an extensive background in behavioral health with a focus on children and adolescents. Can you tell us a little bit about the people you serve and the challenges that they're facing these days?
Certainly. So we provide services for children and actually some young adults who are waiting for a transition into adult psychiatric care or behavioral health care. And we provide a variety of services. So we provide individual therapy and group therapy, which I think is particularly valuable for children these days. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that, we provide the individual therapy in school-based settings. Well, my office is about to turn off. And there I am.
Don't you hate when that happens? You get those things are great for saving energy, but if you sit still long enough, next thing you know, you're sitting in the dark waving your arm to try to get the sensor going. It's the literal definition of first world problems, but
it really is. And I sit long enough in meetings every day that it happens frequently. So I think, some of the issues we serve, we also provide intensive outpatient therapy for children who were trying to help either prevent an inpatient hospitalization program or to help them come down from an inpatient hospitalization setting where they need more assistance than just going back into a more traditional outpatient program. There are a number of programs we have. We provide outreach services for babies, for infants, called our Seedlings program. We work with daycares and preschool providers to help them identify children who might need a referral for an assessment or an evaluation, and on how to manage some of those early behavioral challenges, because we know that if a child experiences some behavioral challenges when they enter elementary school, they tend to be tracked into low ability tracks within their educational career, and that impacts them for a lifetime. So we have a number of programs we offer for children, and very proud to be a participant in this field providing care.
And you've been doing this for a long time. I won't say how long, but it's been a long time. So you've seen a lot in your illustrious career. How has this changed over time, especially in recent times with all of the insults with COVID and the at-home schooling and all of the things that kids have been seeing recently? How has it changed over time?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, and I think that on a positive note, the acceptance of mental health as an issue and less of a stigmatized issue has been tremendously helpful. And I think that that's responsible for some of the increase we're seeing in referrals for care, which is a wonderful thing. The other piece of it, though, and you mentioned COVID, are the part of the challenges, right? So 1 in 5 children will experience a mental health challenge. And that's concerning. But when we compare, say, 2019 to 2020, if you look at the period between April and October of those 2 years, we saw pediatric emergency department visits increase by 24% for children between the ages of 5 and 11, and by 31% for children between the ages of 12 and 17. So it's that period of time certainly impacted kids. And I will say, to give you sort of a more, if we pull the lens back a little further, the Wisconsin Office of Children Mental Health just released a report where they talk about the incidence of anxiety, suicidal ideation or attempts, and depression have increased over the last 10 years to 34%. And we've got children reporting feeling sad or hopeless every day at 34%. And that's an increase of 10 percentage points over the last 10 years. So it's a big problem. It is a crisis. And anecdotally, I will say that many of the people I work with, either within our organization or in like organizations, feel that this sort of rising tide of need that we struggle to serve hasn't even crested yet. So we're still seeing the surge build.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned 1 in 5 kids will experience a mental health crisis. And it's increased by almost a third in the last few years. I mean, this is really a crisis. And Governor Evers, in fact, called the state of mental health a, quote, burgeoning crisis. And he's declared 2023 the year of mental health. In his budget, he included $500 million to expand access to mental and behavioral health, including veteran and school-based mental health services, suicide and crisis lifeline support, efforts to bolster mental and behavioral health workforce, and other things. That's all political policy talk. How does that filter down to help you and affect the people that you serve?
Well, one of the things he's talked about in his plan, and I don't know the full details, is emphasizing behavioral health services being provided in the school setting. And I think that that affords us some wonderful benefits and also some challenges. So some of the benefits, I think, are that it does reduce the barriers both for children and for their parents. When you think about taking your child to a behavioral health or a counseling appointment, you've got to leave work, pick them up, pull them out of school, drive them to the appointment, and then drive them back to school and then work. So it affects both the parent's ability to work, and then it also affects the child's time away from school. So we provide services. At one time, we were providing services in over 50 schools. We now provide services in about 40 schools. And I think that that really helps maybe some of our more vulnerable children who have barriers to accessing care, such as transportation or their parents' work, the need for their parents to work, or the lack of flexibility they have in missing some work. But so that's a wonderful opportunity and a wonderful thing we need to be thinking about more.
It's something that very few politicians until quite recently wanted to talk about at all. It still had that stigma to it. And if you need evidence for how things have changed in terms of the stigma, look at how Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman was able to check himself in for treatment for depression and say so and not have to hide. And we need that to continue, especially when it comes to our kids. Now critics are mostly on the fiscal side, I think, and they look and say, well, gee, $500 million, you know, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's first reply to that was ain't going to happen. And I think that he is not aware that, you know, there's a University of Wisconsin study that said there are 440 people for each mental health provider in Wisconsin. You know, and mm-hmm. that at least 55 counties have a significant shortage of psychiatrists. And so, you know, the resources can include money, can include programs, but really you need people. You need people who can provide the listening and provide the direction. And I wonder if that is that challenging enough in Wisconsin without adding the political climate?
Well, it's interesting because we also offer psychiatry services here, and I will tell you that we're a nonprofit, and we're supported by healthcare systems, so they cover our losses. And psychiatry is a huge loss leader for us. 60% of our psychiatric patients are on Medicaid. And 50% of our entire patient population is on Medicaid. And those parents, and back to the school-based therapy issue, those parents often don't have the ability with their work life to schedule behavioral health appointments as they are typically scheduled. So my daughter sees a counselor and her appointments are scheduled. She can have 3 appointments scheduled. One is at the end of April, one is June, and it's like, it's a very complex, difficult to access system. And you may not have a job where you can make an appointment in June. You may not receive your work schedule for another 2 weeks. Like it's the flexibility. So the school-based mental health services, I think, are going to be helpful for those situations. Politics aside, there's nothing worse than a parent trying to work while worrying about their child's mental health. And it's an issue, I think, that crosses the aisle. We certainly are all worried about where we're going to pay for this program or that program or where we want to put our money. But I don't want to lose an entire generation of kids. Right. I think we have the potential to have the healthiest generation of kids we've ever had as we move toward increased acceptance of mental health problems and seeking treatment for them. But yeah, it's a concerning issue.
I think that's an incredibly important point, that it is so much more acceptable to recognize that you have a mental health issue and that you are seeking treatment for it. But, you know, as you pointed out, we don't have enough resources. So it's a matter of increasing access and making it truly accessible for people. So in the last few minutes that we have, what do you want the people of Wisconsin to know about mental health in our kids? And how, if they are feeling inspired by our conversation today, what can they do to pitch in or to elevate this issue in their own communities?
Oh, gosh. I think that I would suggest that parents who have children who are of the age that they talk to you about things, I would talk about things like, do you feel worried? Do you feel nervous walking into situations? And talking with someone about some general coping skills. Some of those are available on the internet. And really helpful, but establishing some open communication when your children are younger and willing to talk to you before they turn into teenagers who are separating from you and less likely to talk, I think that's really helpful. If you notice signs or changes in your child that are concerning in terms of school attendance or avoidance or feeling sick and with vague symptoms, then I would reach out and try to access some help.
Good. I mean, again, conversation. So much of it comes back to that, and not just leaving people in front of a screen, because screens can be helpful, but screens sometimes are just the absolute worst. Dr. Tracy Gayu, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate hearing from you. Kristen, you've done it again. You have cool friends.
I do have really cool friends who are making a giant difference here, right on the street, like here in Wisconsin.
Unlike, you know, nobody's like Luke Mathers and me. And Luke will join us again in just a moment. You're up north.
You've got a friend.
One opportunity. He sees everything you ever wanted.
Put your head on backwards there, Mathers. This is for you.
Did you capture it? Just let it slip.
Hold your hands up. I want to see if your palms are sweaty. Palms are sweaty. Knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on the sweater. What is that on your sweater? Is that mom's spaghetti? Anyway.
I should have played the version.
Marshall Mathers' long-lost cousin, Luke Mathers, joins us now to wrap things up on a Thursday. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Pat?
Great. You've got your Milwaukee Bucks hat. You are ready for the playoff run here.
Yeah,
I've never seen a brim so straight.
It's so clean. It's a newer one. This was a Christmas gift. So
you could park an F-16 on that aircraft carrier. Wow,
it's a nice clean one.
Why don't we? Can we start, Aaron? Let's start a frisbee golf league. I think I could land a disc on the bill of this cap.
I think that'd be the easiest hole.
There it is. That's his new title, Luke Mathers, the easiest hole.
What have I done?
How are you? You are our link between the old and the new when it comes to, you know, the civic media empire and the state of the art facility being built at the top of State Street, right off Capitol Square here. And I understand that basically everything's there except Aaron's in a box, and that's about it. Is that how things are coming along?
Phase one began this week. So phase one of our move is underway. And yes, Aaron is not included in phase one. So he will be included in a later phase, either phase two or phase
99.
Three.
99. Yeah.
But yes, we're moving in phases. You can't take all of it at once and move it. We've learned that in the past. And so we're being meticulous and trying to be doing it proper is what we're trying to do.
Good on you. So. All right. Has it gone well so far?
So far, so good. There were a little printer problems, but outside of that, I think everything else went smoothly.
When are the not printer
didn't
problems?
Want to deal with the firewall.
What's that, Aaron?
When are there not printer problems? Printers are, they're just terrible.
What is this PC load letter? What is this? The Cripescast is up this weekend. We normally talk about that here sometimes when Aaron's had a chance to listen to it and preview it for us. Aaron or Luke, you got some information on what Charlie Behrens is doing for us this weekend?
Yeah, we got it early, nice and early this week. So Aaron, I believe, has already got it taken care of.
No. But it's what? Will Burkhart is who we have on. And Will Burkhart is another comedian, LA-based stand-up, and according to his website, a sparkling water aficionado.
There we go. Oh.
I feel like we've fallen so far from the standards we had set for the Civic Media Homeroom segment.
Yeah, I think so.
I can tell you that the Cripescast airs at noon, and it will be terrific. So Saturday and Sunday, noon, Cripescast, tune in.
I mean, can we get Behrens to show up here some Thursday at 7:50 and promote his own damn show? Or maybe, you know.
I think it's a little early of a request for Charlie, but we could.
You know, you always got to be hustling. And if you want to get some of these folks on. I mean, Kristen Bride's the same way, I assume. We've never had her on to promote the show. And I envision since her show starts at 11 that alarm clock is set for about 10:15. And, you know, you wander over to the studio like I do. But let's stick to your show, Dueling Tangents. It's on. It's on some stations sometimes.
It's across most Civic Media radio stations, with the exception of Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, WXCO, where you find Chad Holmes. Yes. He does a terrific show from 2 to 4. Around the rest of the state, Dueling Tangents airs from 2 to 3. Excited, Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation area going to be joining me on a Thursday this week. He took a little vacation after last week's spring election. So we missed our regular Tuesday Recombobulation time. But we're going to do it today. So he's got a big sale with 414 Day coming up. Dan covers all things Milwaukee and Wisconsin. So 414 Day tomorrow, celebrating the area code for Milwaukee.
Oh, that
Milwaukee.
Is tomorrow, isn't it? Yeah. Yes. Our Sherita Booker is working on something as well for over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. So be looking for that. And, of course, I'm still working to make 715 Day a thing so that on July 15th we're talking about all things up north.
There you go. That's a terrific proposal. What do we need to get that in front of to make that happen?
I don't know. Let's talk to Sage down there. Let's see if we can get some, I don't know, up north coffee mugs made, perhaps, and put a little 715 on the back of that.
And then I need one.
Can we do this for all of them? Because June 8th is the 608, so we do that already for
920
Madison.
For Northeast Wisconsin.
I would say we could do it 920. Yep.
We're getting a new area code.
Yeah, but it's not calendar friendly. What's the
new one? The new one's 353. So it would be
so there, until we get a March 53rd, Kristen, we can't do that. We have to stick with 920. Aaron, what was what was your area code reference over there?
Oh, well, mine's 920. But I was going to say that as far as the mugs, like the Up North News Radio mug, I mentioned this with Pat and Todd the other day, that I need one that has Up North News Radio on one side and the Todd Albaugh Show on the other.
All right,
there, a little cross promotion.
Let me write all these down real quick.
Yeah. now
we do have a swag store coming. That is something that I have
shut your mouth.
What? Excellent. But I don't know any of the details, so I've been hesitant to share more.
Wait, there's opportunity for swag.
There will be swag on its way for Civic Media and all the terrific radio stations around the state.
We're going to have one for Hometown Health, and Lyerly is going to sell more of those uterus-shaped earrings that she's got.
Yes. Yes. What? Oh, I've got ideas.
I didn't
even
know this was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But mugs, magnets, stickers, we're going to have a lot of things coming. We're excited about that. Timeline still to be determined. We are also really excited to be all summer long flagship station for the Brewers, WISS 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support, and also in WRCE Richland Center. We've been giving away Brewers tickets. We've been lucky enough to send some of the team here at Civic Media, and also a lot of the listeners that have been tuning into the programming. So right now the Brewers on a little bit of a away trip to the West Coast, wrapped up in Arizona yesterday, going to be heading to San Diego for a 4-game series over the weekend now. And then Seattle before their home.
San Diego.
Yes.
San Diego.
Yes. Where in the world is Carmen San Diego?
Yeah,
there you go.
You will. There will never not be Anchorman references on this show. Go ahead, Luke. I'm sorry.
No worries. The Brewers, you can listen to them while they're on their West Coast trip on WISS and WRCE here on Civic Media. And when they get back a week from this weekend, they'll be taking on and hosting the Boston Red Sox. And we're going to be giving away some tickets next week. So you're going to want to be tuned to Civic Media all week long for a chance to win some Brewers tickets to that homestand.
In fact, in your inbox, if not now, then very shortly, will be a little note about next weekend and your own availability for such festivities.
There we go. All righty. I haven't seen it yet, but I will keep an eye out.
It's right there with the link to today's show, which you managed to find about 8 seconds before we went on the air this morning. So
good. Believe on time is on time. Okay.
Pat did double check his emails just to make sure
that
it was. I did
during the break.
Normally, I star it when he sends me the link, and I didn't star it this week, so I was looking for it in the starred.
Because I sent it earlier than ever. I mean,
it threw me off.
It throws me off when I do my job well, too. Thank you, Mr. Mathis.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Dr. Lyerly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron. Earl Ingram's next in Waukesha, Oshkosh, Green Bay. Stephanie Miller in Madison. Todd Alba around the rest of the Civic Media Radio Network. See you Friday.